Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. Today we're going to talk about Mike Tyson, Iron Mike, making his UFC debut. Robert, he's going into the octagon. What do you think about that?
When you told me about this, I thought, wow, Dana White has really done it, but wait till you hear the story.
Floyd Mayweather involved in our train wreck of the week this week, and you don't want to miss this one. This is good. As far as our history lesson this week, Robert, we're going deep, deep. January 22nd, 1973. I told you we were going deep. Down goes Frazier. We will also start the final four of our lightweight tournament, Roberto Duran versus Alexis Arguello. We'll talk some NFL later on in the show, but first we get started with the fight of the night, Danny Garcia versus Robert Guerrero. 12,052 people at the Staples Center. That's a lot of people, man, showing up for a fight in downtown LA.
Remember, that arena holds 20,000, so,
Still a lot of people, man. A lot of people there, man. Danny Garcia won a 12-round unanimous decision. All three judges scored the fight 116-112 over Robert Guerrero. I tell you what, this was a, Garcia also picked up the WBC welterweight title in the process. This was a tough fight, man. I thought, you know, I had the fight scored at even. I thought Guerrero did an excellent job putting pressure on him in the early rounds. I mean, for about the first six rounds, I was like, wow. I mean, Guerrero really was in control, I thought. Danny Garcia couldn't really – it was hard for him to get acclimated to everything, I think, with the pressure and everything that Guerrero was putting on him. But he did rebound nicely in the second half of the fight, doing a lot of good counters and everything like that. I thought he finished the fight very well. I thought he countered very well. You know, it's not one of those fights I call a robbery, because I can see how that would go, you know what I mean?
But no, I don't call it a robbery either.
No, I don't either.
I had it 7-5 in favor of Garcia, 115-113. You know, that's how I did it.
So. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, I think it could have gone either way. I would have had a hard time. I would have been okay with a draw. But I would have had a harder time if they said Guerrero won. You know what I mean?
And, of course, Robert asking for a rematch, and I don't think he deserves one.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, there's nothing that he was going to – I mean, nothing that he's going to show in this in a rematch that he didn't show here. I mean, Garcia was just a slicker fighter. I mean, he went to his hometown, beat him. What else do you want? I mean, you had the home crowd on your side. You had your hometown, home crowd.
Home state.
I mean, you know, he was definitely the house favorite, you know.
Yeah.
So what else do you need, man? If you couldn't beat him under those circumstances, man, you're not going to beat the guy.
Well, we'll talk about Robert Guerrero's future here in a bit. But, no, I don't think he – and I like what Danny said in post-fight interviews. Once he got off of TV, he basically told Mauricio Sulaimán that he's not going to fight Amir Khan because the WBC is mandated, and I don't know how you can mandate this, that Garcia fights Amir Khan next because they've made Amir Khan the WBC mandatory for that division. And Amir Khan does not deserve to be a mandatory challenger. He's only fought once in the last couple of years because the last fight he had was Chris Algieri last May, and he's spent more time on the beach than he has been in the boxing gym. So you can't mandate a guy that hasn't been fighting to be a mandatory challenger. And Garcia said, I've beaten him already once. I knocked him out in the fourth round. What more do I have to do?
So, but it's not his call, though. You know, ultimately, it's not his call. He said he doesn't want to fight him, but ultimately, it's not his call. But, you know, it's the WBC. He's ranked number one by the WBC. He ain't getting a shot at that title. No,
no,
he's not getting a shot at it. You know, and Angel Garcia said that he wants a unification fight next, not Amir Khan. He wants a unification fight.
Yeah, well, Garcia's and Keith Thurman made it very clear. They want to fight each other, provided that Keith Thurman can get past Sean Porter, and that's not exactly going to be easy. So.
Yeah, that's no easy task right there. That's a big road right there, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, man. It's kind of funny, but, why does nobody want to fight Amir Khan? I mean, you know, everything has fell through for this guy. You know, Pacquiao, Mayweather. When the Pacquiao-Mayweather negotiations were going on, they were very close to signing. If those fell through, that they had a very close with Amir Khan signing that fight. You know,
well, I've always said Amir Khan, his problem is people are interested in fighting him, but he does not keep his mouth shut when negotiations are going on. You don't hear other fighters talking about contract negotiations in the media or on social media when they're negotiating a fight. You hear rumors and stuff, but they're not started by the fighters. They're normally started by other people surrounding them or even fans, you know. But Amir Khan, every time you negotiate a fight with this dude, he wants to put it out on Twitter, you know. You don't need to do that.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, though, does it really matter? I mean, because at the end of the day, everybody's going to know what the contract is. They're going to know he's getting X amount of dollars, and they're going to know that the other guy's getting X amount of dollars. I mean, at the end of the day, does it really make that much of a difference? I can see that somewhat, but what is it about this guy? Is he
probably,
that, I mean, I don't think he's that dangerous of a fighter.
No, probably not, Eric. It probably doesn't make much difference. But like I said, you don't hear other fighters doing this. And I don't know. Amir Khan is a good fighter, but I don't put him in the great class. Because Garcia's already destroyed him.
Four rounds.
Porter would beat the hell out of him. Thurman would beat the hell out of him. Just about anybody you could think of would probably beat the living daylights out of the dude. He's not all that what he's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how much trouble he had with light hitting, no knockout power, Chris Algieri, for God's sakes.
He had a lot of problems with Algieri. And yeah. Algieri is a guy he should have been able to not necessarily put away, but just put on a clinic, you know.
I mean, I really wonder how seriously this guy wants to be in the ring, because he seems to find a way to avoid it. You know,
the irony of the whole thing is that, you got Kell Brook right there. That's your big fight. Take that.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? You want a big fight, and then, Kell Brook's beneath me. No, he's not.
No.
You don't have a belt. He does.
No.
Go fight him.
And, I don't know. And, of course, Kell Brook's next fight is with Kevin Bisier.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's going to destroy Bisier. And the only reason why he's got to fight Bisier is here we go with mandatories again. The IBF has mandated that he's a mandatory. So, it's like, what the hell do you do? Brook will destroy him. And then they should put all the animosity aside. Sign the contract, and if Amir Khan deserves to be on that top level, he needs to go into Wembley Stadium or wherever they have it and beat Kell Brook decisively, which I do not think he will.
No, I wouldn't think so either. I would definitely favor Brook in that fight.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. He's putting his face everywhere. He wants a big fight. You know, come on, man. I mean,
getting back to Danny Garcia, he's got other, I mean, hell, he could fight Porter, he could fight Thurman, he could fight Earl Spence, he could fight just about anybody in the 147-pound division currently, and everybody would say, okay, you know what, that's a good fight, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I would like to see him fight Errol Spence. It's not going to happen, but I would love to see him fight Errol Spence.
I think it'll happen within maybe another year or two, you know, because I don't see Danny going anywhere. And he looked once he figured out Guerrero in the second half of the fight, he looked like he belonged at 147. you know.
Guerrero took some shots in that second half of the fight. You know, he really did. I didn't see him landing. I mean, I thought he was winning rounds earlier. Guerrero, I'm speaking of. I thought he was winning rounds earlier. I didn't think, though, that I didn't think he really, you know, put any power on Garcia, put it that way.
I don't think Robert Guerrero can hurt anybody at 147.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we talked about this prior to the show. I know I had mentioned to my dad also about his weight. This is a guy coming up from, what, 126?
He started at 126, and he won a title at 126. Then he fought at 130, did not get a title shot at 130. Went to 135, won a title there, so he's a two-division champion. And then he went to 147. Beat Saljuk Aydin, beat Berto, and lost to Mayweather. And ever since then, Robert the Ghost Guerrero has looked like the Ghost because he does not belong in that division.
No.
In my opinion, he needs to go down to 140. But I'm not Ruben Guerrero. I'm not in the Guerrero camp. So my opinion doesn't matter. But I've been talking about this with people, and that's what we've decided.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I you know, he's not a knockout puncher, you know, and he's not a knockout puncher at 147.
No.
You know, so
they both came in with 18 knockouts on their record, but their records are deceiving because Garcia has proved, a.k.a. Amir Khan, that he can put somebody away at 140, you know, at a bigger weight. You know, that's why Garcia said, no, I don't want to fight Amir Khan. I've already knocked him out in four rounds. What do you want me to do in two, you know?
Right. Do you think Danny Garcia is an underrated champion?
Yeah, I think he's been underrated his whole career because, and like you said, he loves it. When I read an article today, he said, I love it when people don't think I'm going to do well. He said, I love it when the crowd's against me. He said, that makes me want to fight even more.
What is it about him that people don't like?
I think his dad really pisses everybody off.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his father. I wasn't a big fan of either father in this fight. Ruben Guerrero or Angel Garcia. I'm not a big fan of either one of those guys. I think they just talk a lot of trash. I think they like the spotlight on them, not necessarily on their fighter. I don't think they really do their fighter any favors, especially with Ruben Guerrero. You know, every time you see Ruben Guerrero, it's almost like he's in a scuffle. Like he wants to fight the other trainer. It's like nobody wants to see you fight. Get out of here, you know. Just keep it professional. Leave that to the boxers, you know.
Well, like they said on the telecast, both fighters take the heat for their sons so their sons can concentrate on what they're supposed to do.
What heat, though? You know what I mean? I heard that also. What heat is Guerrero getting? You know, what kind of publicity? I mean, you're taking publicity as way as all you're doing.
Yeah, and like Danny said, he said, look, my dad's always going to talk. He said, I let him talk, and then I take care of business in the ring. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
You know.
It bothers the rest of us, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but I really think that's one of the reasons why people don't want to give Garcia his due is because his father, to put it bluntly, pisses everybody off.
Yeah. Yeah, I could go along with that. And I remember with the Amir Khan fight, he was saying something about the Middle Eastern fighters or something like that, and they couldn't fight. And, I mean, just ridiculous stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, I think Danny Garcia had a trainer, you know, that everybody could respect, like a Virgil Hunter, a Buddy McGirt, Ronnie Shields. You know, people would be respecting Danny more, but I think his dad really ticks everybody off, and I think that's one of the things that works against him. But, you know, Danny will never get rid of his dad. He'll never go to another trainer. So, we just have to like the fighter and not like the father.
Right. 2.2 million people watched this fight card, as opposed to 500,000 that saw Deontay Wilder and Arthur Spilska fight last week. So this is a big audience. And it makes sense because it was Showtime and this is free TV.
Well, and not only that, that's the same exact number that paid for Canelo and Mayweather. So there you go.
Wow.
You know, so, no, I, other than Gus Johnson, because I've never been a Gus Johnson fan.
I'm not a Gus Johnson fan at all. Yeah.
I think the Fox crew did pretty darn well. You know.
They need to get rid of him. Everything is like so over the top with him.
Showtime did that because he was with Showtime for a while, and that's why they brought in more over in Elo, because it's like, you know, Gus just made every fight sound like it was the best thing that ever happened, you know?
Right. Yeah, he's hard to listen to at times. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure he's a great guy and everything like that, but he's hard to listen to at times, you know?
So. No, I know. And I just love how Mark Creedler, who was working ringside with him and Keith Thurman, basically said after the Mayweather interview, "What are you Floyd's lawyer there, Gus?"
Boy, he was gushing about Floyd Mayweather, wasn't he? They interviewed Eddie Murphy. They interviewed Eddie Murphy at the side, and he was there with, I guess, his nephew or something like that, who's a boxer. And then he was like, "Well, Eddie Murphy was the most popular guy in the building, but now Floyd's here, you know?" And I'm like, seriously, dude? I mean, he was seriously gushing all over him. I mean, you know, you'd think he was like Mayweather's girl or something like that, you know?
I don't know, but I found it to be rather disgusting, to tell you the truth.
It was like listening to Brett Musburger fawn all over that one girl. That's how, you remember when he got in trouble
Oh, my God, yeah. It was the Alabama quarterback, A.J. McCarron's girl. I don't know if they're still together, but
I think they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he knew how to pick. He knew how to pick them. So
according to Brett Musburger, he did. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh my God.
That's who he reminded me. He was gushing over like that. My God, look at Mayweather. You know.
Yeah, I mean, Musburger basically told everybody in Alabama, if you got sons, make them to be quarterbacks. Look what they get, you know?
Now, during the fights, Fox posted a power list for the welterweight division, and on that list was Keith Thurman, Tim Bradley, Manny Pacquiao, Kell Brook, Danny Garcia, Amir Khan, and Sean Porter. Do you agree with that list? I was surprised they didn't have Saddam Ali. I'm surprised they didn't have Errol Spence. I
agree with the list, except take off Amir Khan. He doesn't deserve to be there, and put somebody else in his place. Other than that, I can't argue with that list.
I don't know. I would favor Errol Spence over any of those guys right now.
Well, yeah. Well, hey, got to make these fights happen. You know?
I would favor Saddam Ali over everybody except Keith Thurman right now.
Oh, speaking of Ali, I don't know if I should say this till later, but he finally has a fight. So.
Who's he fighting next?
Jesse Vargas.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah. So.
Not for a title? He stepped aside?
I don't know. Now, I've heard conflicting reports on that. I've heard that it could be for Bradley's title, and then I've also heard that it may not be. So maybe they're still negotiating because... Ali has been on the shelf for quite a while, and Bradley keeps avoiding him, so I don't know if the WBO is trying to decide whether to strip Bradley or to allow Bradley to fight Pacquiao, you know, and make that a title fight. But I've heard conflicting reports on that, so it could be one or the other. We'll just have to wait and see. But that's supposed to take place in March.
Yeah, Golden Boy better get on the ball with Ali, man. I mean, he did him a big favor by re-signing with him and everything like that. And so far, they're not doing him any favors. So
no, but apparently Vargas and Ali were supposed to fight on the December 19th card last year. The one that Walters was on and stuff like that.
Right.
And they couldn't come to an agreement. Well, apparently they've worked out the financial details. So it's supposed to take place in March.
Awesome. Awesome. So good to see him back in the ring, man.
Yeah.
He's got to keep active, man. He's got to keep active, you know, so.
And Paulie's been working with him, so I don't know. I don't know if Paulie's officially his new trainer, but I know that that's who's been working with Ollie.
Yeah. Let's talk about the undercard here, that Guerrero fight, the Guerrero-Garcia fight. Sammy Vasquez fought Aaron Martinez in a 10-round welterweight battle. This one was a weird one, man. I tell you what, I thought Sammy Vasquez, it ended up being stopped in the sixth round. But I thought Sammy Vasquez was really doing a good job against him. I didn't think that at any point that Martinez was really in the fight. But this one ended quick, apparently due to a six-round elbow injury. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, they came back, and he was in the corner, and they had waved it off, and I'm like, what happened, you know? And apparently he had a left elbow injury, which, you know, look, man, that's a tough thing to fight through. You can't throw any punches. You can't win the fight,
you know? Right. So, look, I feel bad for Sammy because I think Sammy's got a bright future. He's another guy at 147. I mean, you talk about a stacked division.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. I like Sammy Vasquez a lot, and I hope they get him back in the ring quickly. And no offense to Aaron Martinez, but they've got to put him in against somebody a little bit better than that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Aaron Martinez is 20 with 5 losses, 4 KOs. Yeah. Not exactly a power hitter. He's not, you know. Yeah, and, I want to see Vasquez is 21-0 now. I want to see him against some stiffer competition, you know.
You may think I'm nuts, Eric, but I think him and Errol Spence would make a fantastic fight.
Well, I think that's funny you say that because I would guess that that may be the road they're heading down.
It
could be wrong, I think
those two have the brightest futures in that division because they're both so young, and yes, it may be too early to match them up, but what you could do is match them up now earlier in their careers, and then later on, when they both got titles, there you go. I mean, it could be a situation where if they stay in the same weight class, you could set up a trilogy kind of deal. But I think that both of those guys, I think that's who they should fight next is each other.
Well, hey, look at Roy Jones and Bernard Hopkins when they fought for that belt. Early on in their career, Roy won the fight eight rounds to four. And they both went on to successful careers, you know, so
yeah.
It can definitely
And then
happen.
later on they had a Triple G type pay-per-view where only 150,000 bought it, so, there you go.
But in between that, they had a lot of good pay-per-views, so.
There you go, yeah.
There it is.
But no, like I said, you may think I'm nuts, but I think Errol Spence, Sammy Vasquez, I think that's a good deal.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, like, again, man, I think Errol Spence is the guy now. I don't think anybody really, I don't think anybody beats him. I don't think anybody gives him any problems. But yeah, I would definitely like to see that fight because that's a step up, you know.
Yeah.
It's a step up. So yeah, I would definitely like to see
and,
that.
I don't know how Al Heyman and the PBC feel about matching their younger fighters up with one another, but that's where I would go. You know, since Al's trying to eliminate the so-called pay-per-view model, well, then, okay, put these guys on free TV. Let's see a war.
I love getting rid of the pay-per-view model. I just wanted to throw that out there again.
Yeah. I think all boxing fans would love that if it went away completely. I think the fighters would hate it. I think the promoters would hate it.
Yeah.
But I think the networks would love it, and the boxing fans would love it.
Yeah, everybody except the promoters would love it, I think.
And the promoters and the fighters. I don't think the fighters would like that, but, you know.
Well, it depends. I mean, are they getting any, you know, they can sponsor the sponsors and everything. You know, look, I mean, you can get some big-time sponsors if you're on free TV all the time, you know.
That's correct. That's where I would go. Vasquez, Spence.
Look, LeBron James has never been on pay-per-view. You know, Michael Jordan was never on pay-per-view.
No, but LeBron James just killed another coach. That's what he's done his whole career, so, you know.
I heard about 30-11, they fire that guy. What's going on?
Yeah, well, it's because if LeBron James doesn't want to play for you, you know, you're not going to keep his job.
Well, hey.
LeBron
James says it, we got to believe him, you know.
Yeah, well, that's Ohio for you, Cleveland style.
Yeah, right?
You know? Yeah.
The inmates run the asylum.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
All right, let's talk about Dominic Brazil versus Amir Mansour. This was probably one of the more entertaining fights I've seen in a while.
And you know my feelings on Dominic Brazil. Even though I picked him, I was going to be really thrilled to lose that choice because Dominic Brazil has never, never impressed me. And I was absolutely thrilled with what Mansour was doing. But, hey, when you have a broken jaw, you can't continue. And so he skates by with another victory. But I swear to God, Dominic Brazil is a loss waiting to happen. So any of you younger heavyweights or future heavyweights, you want a W on your record, sign this puppy up because he's there to be had.
Let me tell you what, man. I was surprised. I've been Amir Mansour's biggest detractor, man. I've always said, I don't know why on earth we're supporting this guy. I don't know why on earth we're giving this guy any, you know, any press, anything. The guy's 43. He's not going anywhere.
I've agreed with that whole time.
I'll tell you what. I have been very impressed. I was very impressed with that fight over Brazil. I really was. I mean, even at a loss, I was pretty impressed with it. He did. I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought he put his combinations together. My only problem with him is that he throws every single shot trying to end the fight. And with that, what you saw in that fight right around that third round is that he started to gas. You could see him, you know.
I think he realizes, Eric, at his age, he's not going to be able to go, you know, 10, 12 rounds. So, you know, his mindset is, okay, let's end this as soon as possible. So, you know, I don't blame him for that. But, no, I just like I said last week, Charles Martin's title is to be had by anybody. Well, there's a loss waiting to happen in Dominic Brazil's future. Somebody just has got to get in there and expose this guy because he's a U.S. Olympian that does not deserve to be on our TV.
Well, I think he was exposed, I mean, big time. I mean, I don't think any – you know, I tell you what, it was funny because I came away from this with a lot more respect for Mansour than I had for sure. And the same amount of respect for Brazil that I had before because he didn't really show me much.
No. I mean, it would not surprise me because, remember, Martin was supposed to fight Brazil. It wouldn't surprise me if that's the direction they end up going into because Martin is going to, you know, he's not going to sit around and wait for Wilder to fight Povetkin and Fury to fight Klitschko and to put all these unification fights together. It wouldn't surprise me if the PBC says, okay, Charles, your next fight is with Dominic like it was supposed to be. And do I think Dominic Brazil deserves that title shot? Hell no. But I could see the PBC heading in that direction, and Martin could actually win that fight.
Yeah, I think Martin would beat either one of these guys, I think. You know, you kind of give you know, they're heavyweights.
Yeah.
So, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, I kind of lean toward Martin. He's got better boxing skill than Brazil. And I think he would be able to outlast Mansour.
Yeah. But, I don't want to see Brazil or Mansour get title shots, but I can see the PBC heading in that direction. Because, let's face it, Mansour is not going to be able to fight probably for most of it's a good 2 months to heal from a broken jaw or longer, so it could be a while before he's even able to get back into training, let alone fight. So
at least. And, you know, the broken jaw, from what I understand, isn't what stopped it. He actually quit the fight. Apparently, Amir Mansour apparently bit his tongue in the second round. This is what he posted on Twitter, that he bit through his tongue, and he said his tongue swelled so much that he was having a hard time breathing. And that he couldn't breathe, and you know, not to mention he has a broken jaw along with that.
Right. Well, apparently the doctor went into the corner, and once he discovered that the jaw was broken, officially the fight was stopped because of that. So
right.
Yeah.
Didn't Ali go like 12 rounds or 12 rounds with a broken jaw?
I think Norton broke his jaw in the first or second round.
I know it was early.
Yeah. And, you know, he went the rest of the fight with a broken jaw. But like I said, apparently with the new rules of boxing, fighters, unless they shut up about it, aren't allowed to do that anymore, you know. So there you go.
So do you blame Mansour for not going on? Because I mean, really, all I have to do is tell him, hey, you know, I'm okay, and none of this happens. But
no, I'm not really. I'm not gonna jump all over a fighter for you know, having a legitimate thing like that. I mean, and at his age, it, you know, it keeps him off our TV, which I'm fine with. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
So mean, man. You have no respect for Mansoor. That's so
That's correct. It's like the executioner wanting to fight at my age. You know, come
right.
on, get out of here.
All right, no so business. Let's talk about this Showbox card. Why don't you break it down for us?
Well, you asked me about Big Baby Miller.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be like, you know, he had a big win this weekend.
Yeah, he won, and you know,
seventh round KO.
Yeah, he looked impressive, but the man needs to go on a serious diet.
Wow.
The last time he fought, he was 281 pounds. He weighed in at 274.5. He needs to be about 250. He's about 6'4", 6'5".
274?
Yeah, he's got the skills, Eric, but he's carrying around way too much weight. And any legitimate heavyweight that knows what they're doing can get inside and just beat on that exposed belly all day and just take him out. You
Does
know,
he
I
seem
mean,
to have
on.
Any stamina problems?
No, most of his fights end early because of the competition they've been putting him in against.
Right.
That's why it was good this time to actually see him go some rounds. I think he needs a few more tough fights like this, but seriously, he needs to get a nutritionist and lose about 20 to 25 pounds.
At least, man. 274, geez.
Yeah. No, I think he's got a bright future, but he needs to be managed properly. But continue to put him in against guys like this that's going to force him to go some rounds.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think there should be a weight limit on the heavyweight division? Because, like, in the UFC, the weight limit is 260. Now, you can't weigh over 260 and be in there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I
yeah.
mean, do you think they should put that in boxing as well? I don't think there should be a weight limit, like, above 260. I just think 260 should be the max. I mean, I think, you know, if you're, you know... 260, that's it, 260.
Yeah.
How much is enough weight? I mean...
You know, I've never really thought about that, but now that you bring it up, I wouldn't be opposed.
Because, I mean,
you know?
You got this guy coming in at 270, you got, you know, remember back when Butterbean was boxing, he was well over 300, I think.
Yeah.
It's just not, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's... To me, you know, if you're that much weight, you know, he's 274, you
yeah.
know, and you said you could see it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he had a belly on him and everything like that. That's
and, nice. And look, I don't have the best eyes in the world. I've got Gabriel Rosado eyes. And if I can see it, everybody else can't.
Right.
You know, no, I, you know, I never really thought about that before, but I wouldn't be opposed to something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you got to be fit when you go in there. I mean, you're not, I mean, nobody's trying to get injured in there, you know. I mean, you
yeah.
want to put your best foot forward and... It's not going to hurt you to go down to 260, you know?
No. But no, he needs to lose some serious weight. And he even admitted that after the fight. He said, look, he said, I've got to work on my weight. It is a problem. So, you know.
Yeah, I'd say 270. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about...
274, yeah. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Rob Brandt now.
Hey, Rob Brandt, he looked good. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. No complaints. This Showbox card, it was a decent card, but honestly, the people that were supposed to win, they won, and you know, the fights were okay, but there's no highlights that are really worth exposing on this card. And let's face it, when you're dealing with Showbox, this is what it's supposed to do. You know, that's why I don't complain about any of these, because this is a platform for young and upcoming prospects so you can see how well they do. And you put them in against different types of opponents each time out, and you see what they can do. And so, you know, that's why I don't mind watching these, because they're honest about what you're going to see. They, you know, they don't try to hype them up to be bigger than what they actually are. And that's why I encourage HBO to do something similar, because... You know, if Showtime can do it, HBO can.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and the competition there is, I mean, they're pretty evenly matched. I mean, as far as, you know, obviously you're going to see knockouts and this and that, but I mean, as far as records and stuff like that go, you're not going to see, like, mismatches on there. It's they're, you know, quality guys going at it. Sometimes, you know, if you don't fight the best competition, you know, you know your record may lie, you know what I mean? So that's why, yeah. You know.
And what I love about Steve Farhood on there, because he works with Barry Tompkins and Rafael Marquez, what I love about Farhood is if a guy has a soft record, he'll point it out. He'll openly say, this guy hasn't fought anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and so you know what you're going to get before the fight even starts. I wish more networks like HBO would do something similar. I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, I don't either. I don't either. You know who was really good about that was Ferdy Pacheco on Showtime. You remember that?
Oh,
that guy. And he was almost like Simon Cowell, almost a little bit too brutal. But, yeah, I mean, he would definitely tell it like it is, where, you know, it's like, well, okay, you know. It's like,
well, that's why I miss Larry Merchant on HBO, because that's exactly what Larry would do.
I'll never forget the Julio Cesar Chavez Greg Haugen fight was on pay-per-view. It was part of one of Don King's super cards or whatever.
Right.
And Pacheco was talking about it, and he was like on the telecast, and he was like, yeah, Chavez should whitewash this guy, you know?
Well, it reminds me of the whole Harold Letterman during the Riggindale fight on the Golovkin pay-per-view. You know, we shouldn't even be paid to watch this. This is awful.
Right. You know? Yeah. Oh, he was brutal on that guy, man.
He said, I'm paid to judge this, but there's nothing to judge here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad, man. That was bad.
No, I appreciate people's blunt honesty. I mean, if you're going to be on a boxing telecast and you're going to have a microphone, don't sugarcoat it. Tell it like it is.
That's it.
You know.
All right, and that does it for the fights this weekend, man. So let's move along here. January 29th, which is Friday, I believe, on Robbie's favorite channel, Estrella TV.
It's Estrella TV and ringtv.com.
Julian Ramirez versus Christopher Martin, 10 rounds, featherweights. And
okay.
Then Abraham Lopez versus Carlos Valcareal, 10 rounds, featherweights also. Now, also, too, and this isn't televised, and I was really surprised here, Willie Monroe Jr. is set to fight, according to the schedule, on January 29th, Friday, versus TBA, 8 rounds. We don't know who he's fighting, but it's an 8-rounder middleweight. And also Dusty Hernandez Harrison is on that card as well, versus Angel Hernandez, 8 rounds in welterweights.
Okay, so Rock Nation working with Golden Boy?
That's got to be a Rock Nation, because that's Harrison, right?
Yeah. So is Rock Nation, Jay-Z and Oscar working together now?
That's about the only person Jay-Z can work with. I mean,
yeah.
Who's he got?
Look, Oscar, I'm going to keep telling you, I love Doug Fisher and Steve Kim and the people you got doing the telecast on Ring TV, but give them a television platform. I mean, I know you love the internet, you built your own studio, you're going to start your own channel, but come on. Give us a network where we can actually see these fights.
Yeah, was it just going to be like a internet channel, like the Ring
TV
channel?
Yeah, kind of like the WWE, their setup.
Yeah,
you know?
And there's the worst part about it is that, like, you know, I thought maybe like a Box Nation, but they, you know, they do all the promoters and fights over there, so who knows?
Yeah. Come on, Oscar, get with it. You can't allow Al Heyman to take over the world. I mean, come on, you've got clients. You got to get them out there. You know, do something.
Give Saddam Ali a title shot. Put your nephew on TV. Come on, get with the program, son.
There you go. Anyway, and then we got to talk about January 30th. And
January 30th,
again,
Saturday, the main event, man. This is going to be good, man. This is going to be real good. Sergey the Crusher Kovalev versus John Pascal, a rematch. Rematch in Montreal. So Kovalev, hey, took it in Montreal again.
Yeah, now, Eric, you said it's going to be real good. Do you honestly hold that opinion, or are you joking? Because I don't. This is going to be a replay of exactly what we saw the first time around. I don't see anything different going to change here.
No, I agree with you. I don't, you know, I say it's going to be a good one just for show purposes. No, I don't think it's going to be that great, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a complete run over. The only thing I am interested in is that Pascal's working with Roach now and to see if he puts any wrinkles in his game, but I don't think that there's anything that Pascal can bring. The one interesting thing you will say from the last fight is that he buzzed Kovalev. He hurt Kovalev in that fight.
Well, he might have hurt him, but he didn't hurt him good enough because he ended up getting KO'd. So, look, Sergey is going to win this fight probably in the same manner that he won the first fight. And let's get the act together. Let's put this Stevenson Kovalev fight on. Let's get it on. Let's get the contract signed. Quit playing around with rematches here. I don't blame Pascal for taking a rematch. I don't blame Kovalev for doing this again, but come on, enough is enough. Kovalev and Stevenson have got to get their butts in the ring.
Why is Kovalev rematching Pascal?
Because I really don't know.
I don't either. I mean, I don't know what unanswered questions this is going to say. I mean, honestly, what unanswered questions that first fight left, I don't know.
It's kind of like the whole Danny Garcia. He said, "Look, I beat Amir Khan. Why do I have to do it again?" You know.
Yeah, and I think that. I mean, the fact that it's in Montreal. I mean, that's in Pascal's hometown. So you know.
And so was the first fight.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I don't know what the hell's going on here. You know.
But for the undisputed light heavyweight title. IBF, WBO, WBA. I think Kovalev, I mean, I think Kovalev gets him this time. I don't know that, I think it could be interesting, man. If Pascal chooses to box, I think it could get interesting. Because Pascal is very fast, and he can frustrate you, you know, but Kovalev has that power, man, and he's good too.
Let's see if Freddie Roach has made any kind of difference, you know. Other than that, I think it's going to be a replay of what we saw the first time around. You know.
You don't think Pascal can do anything differently this time?
That's why I think the only difference. Let's see what Freddie has brought into the camp. Let's see if he's made any kind of changes.
Yeah, I it's tough. It's tough too for when a fighter switches trainers like that to add new wrinkles in his game. Because he's been in the game so long, you know, and you may be able to teach him a few things, but it's not going to overhaul his entire...
Well, look at the whole Roach-Cotto thing. Everybody was gaga over the improvements that Roach made with Cotto. Come to find out, it was just good matchmaking, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
I mean, he did fight Canelo. He fought a great fight with Canelo, man. He really did. He didn't deserve the decision, but I thought I thought he did pretty well. But he has lost every high profile fight. You're right.
Exactly. So, I think this is going to be like Groundhog's Day. Okay, same result, same you know, but you know, I'm willing to give Pascal a chance. I'm willing to give Freddie a chance to see if he's changed anything. But I think the result's going to be the same.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Kovalev gets him. I think Kovalev gets him before the final bell. So
yep.
I think Kovalev gets him out of there.
And I think there's a fight on the undercard, too.
Yeah, Dmitry Mikoyenko versus Kareem Mayfield, 10 rounds, welterweight. I think that's going to be a good fight.
Oh, well, good for Kareem. I don't know anything about the other guy, so and it's probably set up for a Kareem win, but... What happens beyond that, you know?
Right, right. And now also, too, across the pond, George Groves. So if you not Sun TV, what is it called?
Sky Sports, or Fox Nation,
yeah.
Or one of those.
George Groves versus Andrea DeLuisa, 12-round super middleweights. And John Wayne Hibbert versus Tommy Martin, 12 rounds for Hibbert's Commonwealth Junior Welterweight title. So
okay, well, this is just a comeback fight for George because he got taken care of by Jack the Ripper, so, you know.
That's right. And also, too, if you want to stream, there's a fight in China this weekend also. Robert's favorite, Zhu Shiming versus Natan Cotino, 10 rounds flyweights. So
may he suffer his second consecutive loss.
How dare you.
Now, at least... at least I'm glad it's not on HBO 2 and we don't have to watch any more fights from Macau, for God's sake.
Oh, he's so ruthless, man. So ruthless. Yeah. And he's got such nice things to say about you. Yeah, that's so mean. All right, so January 31st, that's Sunday, from Immokalee, Florida, on Bounce TV, Erickson Lubin versus Jose De Jesus Macias, 10 rounds, junior middleweights, and we all love Erickson Lubin. That guy is the one to watch, man. So that's
no, and again, a lot of us can't see it. Thank you, Bounce.
And that's the action for this weekend, man. So
okay,
very good, man.
Deal.
Very good. All right, let's move along to this week's history lesson.
Yep.
Going deep, January 22nd, 1973, George Foreman versus Joe Frazier.
Yep, and of course, Howard Cosell will always be known for his famous Down Goes Frazier call.
Absolutely.
Of this fight.
Absolutely. This fight was for the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world.
Yes, it was.
You know, Joe Frazier was 29-0, and George Foreman was 37-0. Both
yep.
were Olympic champions. You know, man, this was an anticipated fight, to say the least, man. This fight took place in Kingston, Jamaica. All the buildup and everything, the fight, of course, lived up to the hype and lasted less than two rounds. isn't that how they all go, you know? I mean, when you expect this big thing and all of a sudden it just fizzles.
Yeah, well, hey, when George hits you, you go to sleep. So what can I say?
Absolutely. Yeah. Foreman scored a TKO at 135 of the second round and become the new undisputed heavyweight champion. Foreman brutalized Frazier for the duration of the fight. He scored six knockdowns.
Yes, he did.
Six in just less than two rounds. That to me was just amazing that, you know, you could go down that many times without the fight being stopped. Obviously, the referee giving a lot of leniency to Frazier.
And this was on free TV, folks.
ABC.
You know?
Yeah, the fight was televised on ABC. And if you saw it, you could still hear Howard Cosell saying, "Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier."
That's what he said. He'll always be known for that, you know. And, well, hey, they both were good fighters, but when George hits you, you go to sleep.
I'll tell you what, less than 2 minutes into the fight, Foreman stunned Frazier with a series of punches that sent him down to the canvas. He hit him with a right uppercut. Frazier was able to get back up, but Foreman would continue and just continue to pound him. With 17 seconds left in the round, Foreman caught Frazier with an uppercut that brought him to his knees. And I remember that shot. I remember watching the film of it. Shortly after, Frazier arose from that knockdown, and a combination from Foreman put him back on his back, and he barely made it out of the round. Frazier went out for the second round, but Foreman knocked him down again shortly. He never really recovered. I mean, he never really recovered. He dropped Frazier for a sixth time with a powerful right hand. By this time, Angelo Dundee, who was at ringside scouting the bout, was pleading for the bout to be stopped. Arthur McKinney Sr. finally called a halt to the bout after the sixth knockdown, and Foreman, of course, was declared the winner at 135 of the second round, becoming the new heavyweight champion.
And this was mean George. This wasn't nice George that we all got to know later. This was when George was ruthless.
Oh yeah, you didn't want to mess with George back then. You didn't want to cross George. I mean, this guy was mean. He had the mean streak in him. Yeah, absolutely.
He was the perfect villain to Ollie and Frazier's, you know, or Frazier's nice, you know, good guy. The George that everybody remembers now was, you know, a lovable, huggable kind of George. But
Big Teddy Bear, you know. Yeah, this guy was ruthless, man.
Yeah. This was Triple G George kind of thing, you know.
He was like Darth Vader out there, man. That guy was mean, man. I tell you what.
Yeah.
It's, And then, of course, you know, 20-some-odd years later, he goes and recaptures the belt, you know.
Yeah.
I always think...
Go ahead, Eric.
I always think Foreman is just an amazing story because, you know, you know we saw him back, you know, we saw fights of him, you know, back in his first go-round with boxing and the Frazier fight, the Ali fight, and how mean this guy was and how vicious he was and how powerful and everything. And then when he came back for a second, I mean, he was just adored because he was so nice, you know. He just completely revamped his personality.
Yep. I mean, the first go-round from, 69 to 77, he was a ruthless bastard kind of thing, and then took 10 years off, think about that. He took a decade off, and then built up a church. Was a preacher. He preached every Sunday, and then 10 years later, well, you know what? God says I need to make a comeback. Well, he made a comeback all right, and completely changed how everybody thought of him. So, no, this was the two Georges were like the three faces of Eve kind of deal. Multiple personalities,
Exactly, man. Yeah. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, it's just nuts to think about all he accomplished and all he did. I mean, just in his boxing career, you know, and then, of course, he makes a fortune selling grills, you know.
Yep. And he basically stumbled into that investment. He basically helped out a friend, and now it made him multi-billions, I guess, you know. I guess George is not hurting for money these days.
I wouldn't think so, man. George, he seems like a wise, with all the kids and everything like that, he seems like wise, and he seems like he's still got his money and everything like that.
Yeah.
So,
great story, man. That's another thing that blows me away. 9 different Georges. Couldn't you come up with another name?
They're all named George. Even the chicks, even the girls, even his daughters. Georgina, Georgette, you know, they're all George. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's our history lesson, man. That's our history lesson for this week. Let's move along, man, to our fantasy lightweight tournament for the right to go to the finals. Robert, we're in the final four.
Yes, we are.
Final four. First fight of the final four taking place this week, man. Roberto Duran versus Alexis Arguello. Man, this is a dynamite fight, man. I've been thinking about this all week, man. I really have. Let's break it down. Let's break down the intangibles real quick here and see what you think. Now, as far as who had the better chin, what do you think on this?
They both could take hellacious shots. I think Arguello, he was easier of the two to knock down, but it took an awful lot to do it. And I can't remember in Duran's early days, like at 135, the division we're talking about, whether anybody actually hurt him any. I would have to give the edge. I would have to give the edge to Duran as far as having the better chin, because I remember Arguello going down, but I don't remember Duran going down until later in his career.
The only one, and I don't know if anybody else was ever able to put him down, man. The only person I ever remember putting him down was Hearns.
Yeah, but what division was that?
Right, that was right around what, 147, 154, somewhere in there.
Yeah, something like that. So I don't know if anybody could put either one of these guys down. At 135, I think you'd have to call this even, don't you think?
I gave Duran the nod on the chin, man, because like I said, I mean, I gave. But you call it a push, I call it Duran. I mean, it could be even, to be honest with you. I mean, I gave it to Duran just because the only person I remember ever putting him down on the canvas was Hearns in that second round.
And Arguello, on the other hand, you could remember him going down at 140 and 147, but again, at 135, I don't know.
Yeah, right, exactly. And with Arguello, the only one I really remember with him was Pryor.
Yeah, but again, that was like 140. So you know.
Yeah, so
that's why I call it even.
Yeah, I could see that too. So I call Duran. Yeah. You call it even. All right, now the speed advantage, Arguello or Duran?
I would have to give. I would have to give the speed advantage probably to Arguello.
Yeah, I did too. I gave the speed to Arguello. I thought that, and I tell you, man, and Duran is super quick too, man. But I just thought that I think Arguello is a little bit quicker to the draw. The way he boxes, he would be a little bit quicker to the draw. That's what I thought, you know. And movement, I thought both have really great movement. But speed, I did give to Arguello.
This is a 50-50 fight all the way across the board.
It really is. Now, how about boxing ability?
Again, you'd have to call this almost even, but I would have to give the edge to Arguello. I think. You know, this is really, really close, man.
Duran, I tell you, Duran is really underrated as a boxer.
Yeah.
Duran is really underrated as a boxer. I thought he was a great boxer.
Everybody always thought he was a slugger. That's why I wish these two guys could have fought each other, because, my God, this would have been 15 rounds of pretty much back and forth.
Yeah, I agree. You know. I agree. Boxing ability, I definitely gave to Arguello. I thought because that's what his whole thing is based on. He could slug, but he could box, but he's definitely a better technician, I think.
Yeah.
You know? And even though Duran's a really good technician, I think that Arguello was a better technician.
As far as power goes, that goes to Roberto without a doubt.
I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, I mean, Alexis can bang, and Alexis can get you out of there. What do you have, something like 60 knockouts or something like that? You know he had power, man, but Duran, when you talk about Duran, man, no way.
Yep.
Alexis Arguello is a fighter that could make ordinary fighters look, or great fighters look ordinary. He's got a way of making you fight his fight. He takes strikes away from you. You saw him do this with Ray Mancini and several other fighters, man. He made Mancini look ordinary in that fight, like he was just another challenger. And Ray Mancini was a great, great fighter, man. He was a really good boxer, really good fighter. Very, tried to smother you, he was very, very aggressive, and he took out a lot of people like that, and he just couldn't figure out, Arguello had him figured out from the word jump, from that opening bell.
Exactly.
Roberto Duran, man, rumor has it, this guy once knocked out a horse.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for a minute, okay? Let that sink in for just a second. He was 135 pounds. Not only did Duran have fight-ending power, but he was also a really great boxer. That's something nobody ever gives him credit for, man. We talk about this all the time, man. They always talk about his power, but never really about his skill. He was a very skilled fighter.
Hey, anybody that can put the lights out on a horse can put the lights out on anybody.
A horse. Yeah. Just think about that for a 135-pound guy.
Yeah. And according to the story, he basically did that on a whim. Somebody challenged him. Hey, can you knock out a horse? Well, let's find out.
And knocked out, and the guy said, "Yeah, he knocked out the horse." What? Can you imagine just going over there punching a horse and knocking him out? I mean, like, what in the world?
Okay. Wasn't even warmed up. He's like, hey, you think you can do this?
This would have been a full punch. You know, yeah, why not? Yeah. Yeah. Let's go get some meat after. Let's go get some lunch after this,
Okay.
I tell you, with a fight like this, I think you have to look for parallels. And let's start with Duran. Duran fought a lot of slick boxers in his time in all divisions.
He did.
Nobody was slicker, and we're going to move up here. Nobody was slicker than Sugar Ray Leonard. Now, I know the fight took place at welterweight, but just using this as an example, he was able to outslug and outbox Leonard in that first fight.
Oh, yes, he was.
Leonard was probably the best fighter that Duran ever took on. Hagler, too, but also at a much heavier weight.
Yeah.
Arguello's fought a lot of guys like Duran, though. The guys that come after you, that can box and put pressure on you. Ray Mancini comes to mind in this.
I know we have to have a winner here, but I'm almost tempted to call this a draw.
The other one that comes to mind, though, for me is Aaron Pryor.
Yeah.
And that was only 5 pounds north.
Yep.
I don't think that Pryor was a better fighter than Duran. That's not to say that Pryor wouldn't have beaten him, because I think that's a very even fight also.
Yeah.
In fact, I would have loved to seen that fight. To me, that's just a major, crazy fight, man.
Yeah, but we never got to see Arguello and Duran, and that's something we boxing fans certainly missed out on.
I'm not saying that Pryor would have beaten Duran. I'm just saying that I think they were pretty evenly matched. I really do.
Yeah.
You may disagree, but I really think those two were evenly matched. Who wouldn't have loved to see that fight, though, Duran and Pryor?
I would have loved to see either one of those.
Pryor was the only person that was really able to overwhelm Arguello.
Yep.
And I think that Duran at 135 would have been able to do the same thing to Arguello.
Oh, yeah. While
Arguello had a lot of power in his shots, I don't think he would have been able to keep Duran away from him. And I see this fight as a carbon copy of the Pryor fight, honestly.
I think Roberto Duran would have been considered the Triple G at the 135-pound division.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as my pick for the fight, I think Duran wins this. Like I said, I think it's a carbon copy of that Pryor fight. I think it goes down a lot of the same way. I think Duran wins this via KO in about the 9th or 10th round.
I can't argue with that. I think Roberto moves on here. They don't call him the hand. When you have the nickname, the Hands of Stone, you have that name for a reason.
So what do you think? I mean, as far as the fight shaking down, how do you see it going down?
I think
this is like a pick'em fight. For you, this is a pick'em fight.
For me, it's a pick'em fight, but I think power does win out here, and I think in the 10th or 11th round, even the 12th, that Duran would get a late stoppage. I don't see this fight going to the cards, because my God, if it went to the cards, I think it would be awful, awful close.
That's another thing, and, if it did go to the cards, I think that, you may be looking at an Arguello win. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do think that
even if it did go to the cards, like that prior fight.
Remember, when they were fighting most of their careers when fights were 15 rounds. So if they ever matched up, you'd have to consider this a 15-round affair. And
sure.
I don't know if Arguello could have dealt with Roberto for 15 rounds.
Yeah, I don't know. Not too many people could have dealt with him for 15 rounds, man.
That's why I think it would take a while, but I think it would be a very late stoppage.
Yeah.
You say 9th or 10th, I say it goes deeper than that, like 12th, 13th, 14th kind of deal.
Gotcha.
I think Duran wins this, but it takes him some work to do this.
Gotcha. Computer also incidentally has picked Roberto Duran. Roberto Duran now moves on to the finals. The number one seed has reached the finals as Roberto Duran moves on. Now he will face the winner of next week. Roberto Duran will face either Sugar Shane Mosley or Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah.
So those two are going to fight next week, and that's another man. That's a tough one. I've been thinking about that one for weeks now. I don't know, man. At this point, I'm still like tossed up on it. I have no idea.
That's another one. I'm like, okay, which way do we go here?
Because you think about it, like Shane Mosley, it's not the welterweight Shane Mosley; it's the 135 Shane Mosley.
Yeah, and we know how good Sweet Pea was at like 140 and 147, but. Man, him at 135 with his skills?
Yeah, he was completely untouchable at lightweight. I mean, completely untouchable. You know? I don't know, man. And Mosley with the power and the speed and the defense, I mean, that's another even fight. That's another even fight, man.
Like I said, this one could have been a draw. I think next week could be a draw almost.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So stay tuned, and next week... Pernell Whitaker and Shane Mosley will face off to see who faces Roberto Duran.
Yeah. All right.
So let's move on to our news and rumors.
Okay.
All right. So Tariana Johnson was scheduled to fight Triple G next. He's out with an injury, so that fight's not going to happen. We're hearing that Matt Korobov could be the next guy to fight Triple G.
And I can hear the boxing media now and all the fans. He's not fighting anybody. Here we go again. I can hear it before it even starts up. I really feel bad for this guy because he's always accused of not fighting anybody.
He fights who he can. I mean, that's it. I mean, look, man, he offered the guy, what is it, $3 million or something crazy? $3 or $4 million?
Well, I even heard $6 million and Saunders turned it down. So,
look, Saunders, if you're turning down that much money, you don't want to fight.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, he freely admitted that he wasn't ready for... remember in the post-fight interview, he said, no, I don't want nothing to do with this guy. He freely admitted that.
Well, I mean, you can't make people fight you. And that's the long and the short of it. I mean, you can't make people fight you. I mean, he's going after, he's doing the best he can, trying to secure fights and everything like that. But,
But I really do feel bad for Triple G and Tom Loeffler. I mean, how in the world? What do you have to do? Do you have to basically back up the Brinks truck and offer somebody $10 million to finally step in the ring with you?
Well, I think he did. I think he did back up the Brinks truck with Billy Joe Saunders. I mean, look, if you're not going to fight him for that kind of money, I mean, because you're not going to get that kind of money fighting Daniel Jacobs.
No,
you're not going to get near that kind of money.
Yeah. But here we go again with all middleweights basically saying, no, I don't want nothing to do with you.
Right. You know, what can you do, man?
Now, does this give Canelo that kind of platform to say the same thing? No, I'm not going to fight you, you know.
Until that fight's signed, I'm not going to believe it's going to happen.
Okay.
You know, I got to be honest, man. Until that fight's signed, I know what they say, I know what they're talking, but, man, until that fight's signed.
If you're Tom Loeffler, do you finally go to your fighter and say, you know what, you're going to have to move up?
No.
And I really don't think the guy has to move up. You know, I think he's the best at that division. But in order to get people off of your back, what do you have to do to shut people up?
Well, I don't know that they really care about that, to be honest with you. I don't know that you can really care about that, honestly.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if, you know, you're offering these people fights, if they're not going to fight you, they're not going to fight you. You know, I mean, you got the title. What else do you?
Yeah.
I mean, you got the title. You got $4 million. Says you can fight me. I mean, what else do you need?
Yeah, but Aaron, I'm looking at this from the management's point of view. What do you do? Because you're trying to get your fighter a big exposure. You know, the fans love you. Every time you go somewhere, I mean, people are all over him. He sells out every arena he ever fights in, regardless of who he fights.
Well, that's a good enough reason not to move up. You know? I mean, if he's doing everything right, I mean, that's what he's doing, and then there's no reason to move up. If the finances are there, you're selling out arenas and you're doing your thing, there's no reason to move up. Everything's going according to plan.
But nobody will pay. If you want to put in more fights on pay-per-view, nobody's going to pay for Johnson. Nobody's going to pay for Korobov.
I don't think that Johnson or Korobov would have been on a pay-per-view scale. No way.
No.
Nobody's paying for that nonsense.
My point is, how in the world, I mean, you can't, I mean, look, because Tariana Johnson's a decent fighter, but he'd be victim number 23 in a row. Same with Korobov here. I mean, if Andy Lee can knock you out, what the hell can Triple G do to you?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
it's tough, man. I mean, and like I said, I mean, his big fight is going to be in the fall if Canelo takes it.
Yeah, but again, with all these middleweights, you know, avoiding him like the plague, and Canelo's biggest thing, well, I want to catch weight. I mean, how do you avoid something like this?
Who's his promoter now? Is it still K2, isn't it?
Yeah, for Triple G, yeah.
Yeah, it's still K2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Loeffler. Yeah. I mean, you know, Canelo and Oscar, they're going to put a catchweight in that fight. And I don't agree with that. If you have a 160-pound title and you're fighting for the title, especially unification, you've got to eat your way to 160.
I don't want to see a catchweight on that fight. I don't want to see a catchweight. We're done with catchweights. You know, I mean, on title fights. I don't care if you do a catchweight out of there. I could care less about that. But if it's a title fight, you want to come in at 147 for a 160 fight, that's on you. But you can't make your guy come in at once. You got to make your guy come in at 160.
But Saul Canelo Alvarez and Oscar De La Hoya, that's going to be their trump card. Okay, right. how much weight can we make this guy lose?
Yeah, possibly. He's been saying all along that he's going to come in at 160, that he's not going to have any catch weights. They're going to do it at 160. So we'll see.
I don't believe it until the contract signed.
I don't believe it's going to happen until the contract signed. So we'll see.
You've been saying that, and since we're on the air here, what is your reason for Canelo avoiding that fight? I mean, because Canelo's not going to make any kind of decent money with anybody else in that division.
Then why have? Here's the thing. I mean, well, you're right because you know. So, but he can go down to 154 and fight people down there because that's his natural weight, I think.
He can go to
160. You know, so at 160, who's he got? Who's he fighting next in May?
Okay, he's fighting Gabriel Rosado.
Come on, man. I mean, what are you going to get out of that fight? You know, look, you don't have an, and that fight's not signed. He has nobody. He just has a date. He really has nobody. Rosado, we're just speculating on.
Look,
Triple G's out. Tariana Johnson, do it May 7th.
At 154, you say he could go down. Who would he fight?
who do we got down at 154? Who do we got at 154 with Golden Boy that he could fight?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, who can he? I mean, who can make Canelo the kind of money the Triple G can give him?
Well, they talked about Tim Bradley moving up to 154. I think it's a horrible idea.
You want to put somebody in the hospital? That's fine.
Right, right. You know, they had talked about, like I said, Bradley moving up to 154. But, you know, now, while I think it's a mismatch, I think that, you know, it's a very, you know, it's one of those things that can make money, you know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that'll be on pay-per-view. And like I said, Tim, you want to spend some time in the hospital?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you got Arislandi Lara down there. Who's now under contract
and
Canelo's
with already beaten him.
Charlo, both Charlos, they're under contract with Heyman.
Yeah.
Who do you got, man? Austin Trout, Heyman guy. J-Rock. J-Rock would be
Heyman
a good fight.
Guy.
Yeah, J-Rock
Heyman
would be
guy.
A good fight. He's a Heyman guy. Heyman's got this division locked up, son.
Yeah. If you're Canelo, you can't really avoid Triple G because you're not going to make any money with anybody else. I mean, Rosado is supposed to be a tune-up fight at 160. That's all it is. Yeah, it's going to be a title thing, but it's basically going to be a glorified tune-up. And unfortunately,
I tell you what, you know who I would like to see? I would like to see him and Willie Monroe Jr. I would like to see Canelo and Willie Monroe Jr. I think that's a good fight.
At 160?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a good fight, man. I think that's a very good fight.
Well, that can be made. I don't think Monroe signed with Heyman.
No.
You know?
And I think, like, Chris Eubank Jr., that's another one. That fight won't happen, but that's a possibility.
Is Eubank at 160? I thought he was at 168.
No, he's at 160.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you want to bring the tuxedo over here. That would be good.
That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some, but nobody's going to give him the big payday like that. But my thing is, and what's his face, the guy from ESPN? Who's the guy from ESPN? The Dan Rafael. He was saying, he said, you know, since the day when Johnson fell out, why don't we just do this fight in May, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I totally agree with that. Well, we're going to have the Pacquiao pay-per-view in April, put the Canelo pay-per-view in May. Then what big fight do you set up for the fall? You know, what does he do for September? You know,
well, and that's the thing. But there's not, you know, the Canelo fight. Canelo's not going to have a big opponent in May. You know what I mean? I know they're saving us for September, and I got that. I understand it.
Yeah.
But who's he's got nobody in May. Nobody's going to come out for that Rosado fight. I can't imagine anybody coming out for the Rosado fight.
I mean, hell, I don't know. I don't have any sympathy for Canelo, but I do have a lot of sympathy for Golovkin because people constantly avoid him. If you're a real fighter and you're making a living at this game, I get that you want to get paid, but you know. Get in there and prove that you need to earn your paycheck. If he knocks you out, so be it.
Right.
Have some guts. I mean, I'm tired of these fighters avoiding big fights. It's like the reason why we love boxing is look at the fights we were just talking about. Could you imagine if Alexis Arguello and Roberto Duran actually ever had a fight?
Yeah.
I mean, people would have been all over that. I mean, boxing is founded on mega fights. So come on, you two, put pen to paper and let's get it on.
I agree. But Triple G is making the rounds. He's very popular these days. He went to the Premier League game in London, I guess. West Ham versus Manchester United. He was actually presented with a West Ham jersey at the game that had his. It had 37-0 or whatever his record is in 0.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
West Ham co-owner David Sullivan said, I was proud to welcome one of the world's great sportsmen to the Boland Ground on Saturday, Gennady Golovkin. He said he's a big fan of boxing, and Gennady is a world middleweight champion. He has won 34 of his fights and is rated as one of the best pound-for-pound boxers in the world.
Absolutely.
So, really cool to see him. I mean, he's going to be, you know, once he gets going, man, he's going to be unstoppable. A great marketing thing because he, you know, he's a world guy. It's not like he's popular in the U.S. He's popular around the world.
No, and he openly admits he loves fighting, and he, and you're never going to see Triple G say no to anybody.
Right.
You're going to see people, you've already seen people say no to him, which I don't get. But
You want a title or not, man, that's how you get it, you know. You got to fight anybody on any given day. All right, let's move on to our train wreck of the week here. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
Bob Arum actually appeared on a show called Highly Questionable. And I don't know if you've seen the show. It's the show's host is Dan Le Batard. And this is like on ESPN or Fox. It's all one of those things.
It's on ESPN. He worked for ESPN, but no, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Dan Le Batard asked him about an incident, asked Bob Arum about an incident with James Prince, former manager of Mayweather. And Bob proceeded to tell the story. Apparently, Arum was at dinner one night, and he gets a call that there was a disturbance at the gym where Floyd was training. It was Bob Arum's gym. You know, Floyd was training there for a fight. He would have had to been training for the November 2003 fight with Philip Ndu, according to the timeline and everything like that. Apparently, some guys with baseball bats came into the gym and started beating up people in the Mayweather camp. Apparently, there was blood all over the gym. Now, we don't know. There was no proof of this. And allegedly, those guys were, you know, new James Prince, you know, because there apparently was a contract dispute between Mayweather and Prince. Go figure. Mayweather then tells Arum that James Prince wants $600,000, which would have been, you know, and turns out that would have been Prince's cut for the fight, the Ndu fight. Because Floyd actually wanted the fight moved to December so that it would have been out of Prince's contract, but they decided to go this route instead. Arum agreed, wrote him the check for $600,000. Otherwise, it sounded like some harm was going to come to Floyd.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine that? I mean, they just come in and storm a gym? I mean, what in the
world? Yeah, no, that's mafia-type stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's what happens when you hang out with the wrong crowd, man.
You know.
That's what I try to tell Robert, man. Get your stuff together. Stop hanging out with those people, man. They're, you know.
Hey, that's like a...
All the gang
like
activity
a,
you hang out with and everything is going to come back to bite you, man.
That's like Don Corleone-type stuff, or Michael Corleone-type
right,
you know, from The Godfather.
Absolutely.
You know?
Love The Godfather.
Yeah.
Mayweather claims that he makes seven figures a month and has no desire to return. Do you buy this?
Well, no, because his interview on Fox was rather deplorable. The guy asked him, the person asked him, well, are you going to come back and fight? I think it was Brian Kinney, and Floyd said everything but no. In other words, I still believe that Floyd is going to put on the gloves.
Yeah.
At some point.
You know, Mayweather stated he say he makes seven figures a month, doesn't have any desire, you know, any desire to return. However, he just happened to be in L.A. for the fight this weekend, you know.
Yeah.
And then he just happened to be trash-talking with Amir Khan during the fight. Apparently, they were two rows, a row behind each other.
Yeah.
And the two were just trash-talking each other the entire fight.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, actually, so.
No, Floyd is definitely going to come back. He can't stay away from the limelight. And like I said last week, he spends too damn much money to stay away.
Yeah, they were talking to Freddie Roach, and they said, you know, do you think that there'll be a rematch with Pacquiao and Mayweather? And he says, you know, I'm kind of holding out hope. He said, somebody came to me the other day and told me Floyd spent $1.1 million on a watch. And he said, you know, with the way these two spend money, man, he said, and man, he's running for... I guess Congress or whatever he's doing in the Philippines.
He's running for Senate in the Philippines, and it's the next stepping stone to being president.
And apparently, he said you have to buy votes. That's how it is in that country. You have to buy votes, basically.
Yeah. And Manny has more money than anybody in the country, so he's going to buy a victory because the election is May 9th, 30 days after the Bradley fight.
Manny
Go
goes
figure.
Home with $500 in his pocket. He's got more money than anybody in that country, all right?
That's a poor country
right there, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of poor countries, man, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Vows a lawsuit. Senior, I'm sorry.
Yeah, senior.
Should have been junior, but, you know. Chavez Sr. vows a lawsuit over drug trafficking claims.
Yeah.
Mexican boxing legend Julio Cesar Chavez denied any connection with drug trafficking late night on Thursday, a couple of days after El Universal columnist Ricardo Alemán accused him of laundering money for narco cartels and having connections with some of the most powerful drug kingpins in Mexico.
Hey, we just talked about the Mafia. That's a Mexican version of the Mafia right there.
They don't play around, man. They don't play around.
Yeah.
I spoke to my lawyers in the United States and Mexico, and we will be suing them for defamation because that man, speaking of Alamán, has no grounds to make these accusations. Alamán accused Chavez of laundering money for various drug cartels. Chavez, however, admitted he has admitted. Chavez says he has many friends who are drug traffickers. Huh?
Okay, Julio, what the hell's going on there?
Exactly. He said it's true. I've known very many drug traffickers. You all know. I've met people from all social classes, from the president of Mexico to the poorest people. I've met people taking pictures with everybody because I've never denied anybody a photo, be it a poor person, rich person, be it a drug trafficker. Chavez has also been linked to Kate Castillo. If you recall, she's the Mexican actress that had links to Robert's boy, El Chapo.
The one that got caught in Mantil's house, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So Chavez, not, I don't know, man. That's some shady stuff right there.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm in the U.S. side of the border.
He needs to move to California or something. Get out of that nonsense, man.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the one, man. Iron Mike Tyson will be entering the octagon for the UFC. In the video game. Mike Tyson, for the first time, will enter the UFC Octagon UFC's video game that's coming out for EA Sports, playable on the PlayStation and I guess the Xbox. You'll be able to play Mike Tyson, and he can play in the Octagon for the first time. So without boxing gloves, he'll be able to wrestle and fight and everything like that, and you'll be able to pit him against Anderson Silva or whoever else is in there.
And here I thought Dana White had signed Mike Tyson to actually go in the Octagon. When I first heard this story, I'm like, okay, what's that man up to?
I tell you what, yeah, James Toney didn't do too well in there, I tell you that. So,
yeah.
All okay. Right, Keith Thurman and Sean Porter are set to fight. We've been saying it for some time now, but of course it's official now. March 12th, been announced, Thurman and Porter hooking it up.
Yeah, and that'll be in the that'll be in Connecticut of all places, and the fight will be live on CBS.
Right, right. And that'll do it for boxing, man. That's pretty much it. But let's talk about the just real quick. Let's touch on the NFL action here. Patriots defeat the Broncos, or Broncos?
No.
Defeat, I pulled a Steve Harvey on you there.
Yeah.
The Broncos defeat the Patriots, and Arizona melts down with Carson Palmer again.
Yeah. All I can say is, I'm disappointed. I thought New England would win, but, hey, good for Peyton Manning.
What did
Manning.
You think of that Broncos defense, man? I thought that was impressive.
That was, and you've got the two best defenses in all of football actually matching up here. But I don't expect a low-scoring Super Bowl. I think both defenses will have their moments, but I think you'll see lots of turnovers, and you might see both defenses score touchdowns. I think this is going to be a very interesting Super Bowl, but I think Carolina is going to win it.
Wow, very good, very good.
Yeah.
What did you think of Carson Palmer's meltdown for Arizona?
Hey, as a Raider fan, the guy did me proud. Six turnovers, four interceptions, two fumbles. May he continue to implode.
Unbelievable. Big money, man. Big money games. He always melts down. So we knew in Cincinnati, he's terrible.
Yeah. No, I had Arizona beaten Carolina, I definitely would have taken Denver because Palmer does not know how to win the big ones.
I agree.
But no, I think Carolina will be your Super Bowl 50 champion in 2 weeks, and good for them. It'll be their very first title. So
yeah, and we'll do a Super Bowl preview. I tell you what, as the game gets closer, we'll do a Super Bowl preview because it'll be in 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, February 7th.
Yeah, we'll do something like that. We'll do a quick Super Bowl preview.
Okay.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can call Ringside Robbie's Corner at 773-572-7781. And listen to all the podcasts and history lessons. I'm at Ringside 73, and we will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. On Twitter at ringside73. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.